talking to my people, yeah. Talking to the ghetto, ghetto. You're out there floating on your own, hoping the streets will somehow occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy in everyone who loves you. Tell me,
do you really think that
the government cares about you?
No, they don't.
Ghetto people, who you gonna turn to next?
Who you gonna turn to?
Listen to me, I'm trying to tell y'all, yeah.
Ghetto people.
Self-respect.
Stop it,
ghetto people.
Show some love for yourself, people.
Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to feel what you need. What you really want inside can only come from you. The day will come when all of your pride leaves you standing around looking like, what am I gonna do? You have those feelings deep inside, a strange kind of sadness you can never get used to.
Ghetto people,
what are you trying to prove?
Come on, tell me, y'all.
Do you really think that
the world gives a damn about you?
Hell no, it don't.
Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to?
Who you gonna turn to?
Listen, people, you better take a look at yourself, yeah.
Talking to my people,
eyes, but you just don't see
what you're living
at. Living like you're living,
living like you're living,
caught up in the make-believe,
lost in your dream.
Ghetto people,
stop giving up your self-respect.
Stop it,
y'all.
Talking to my people, yeah.
Can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to feel what you need when what you really want inside can only come from you.
With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease.
Motherland Media is on the air. You are listening to African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. African Perspectives, where we talk about the issues of our day from an African worldview, an African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak. Having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. So I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is always an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who is living, and everyone who will live in the future. We have a common ancestral root. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were other cultures as well, such as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, great civilizations that were flourishing while Europe was still in a medieval or dark age. So we pour this libation to those contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, uprooted out of Africa, laying a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. They are now in North America, Central America, South America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to brothers and sisters who suffered the Holocaust of enslavement, of captivity. We do not know their names, but because of them, we are here. So we honor them and their sacrifice. We say Ashe. We pour libation to those men and women who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you'll know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a slave want to do? It wants to get free. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting on the continent, throughout the Middle Passage, and this hemisphere. We resisted. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master, and we haven't and we will never submit. So we give honor and reverence to those men and women who fought. Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, and many, many others. We honor them. We respect them for always standing and fighting for the liberation of our people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is bad because we lack consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. It's a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, historically, and the necessity to come together to produce family, which is produces good community life. So we pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We say Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, it's a beautiful day. To me, every day that you are blessed to be alive is a beautiful day. In fact, it is said in the Hadith, the sayings of Prophet Muhammad, you should live each day like you're going to live forever, but you should also live each day like it's going to be your last. That's why every day you get up, whatever it is that you decide to do, it is a blessing, even if it is to do nothing. But I hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, needed to do, have to do, should do, better do, can do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, you did it anyway, because that's the kind of brother and sister you are, that you is. You're going to get it done. Well, in some places, the weather was just too damn bad to do anything but stay indoors, you know. I mean, throughout the Midwest and all up into the Northeast. And, I mean, the weather is just, you know, that's the thing. 30-something years ago, the scientists said, if you don't change these habits, if you stop using fossil fuels and pouring them into to the atmosphere and developing a greenhouse effect, we're going to have some extreme weather. And, of course, this is what's happening. And it's not going to change, brothers and sisters, anytime soon. You know, it would have been cool, and it could have changed, when Jimmy Carter, before he left office, put the solar panels on top of the White House. But, of course, Ronald Reagan, one of the first things he did was take them down. And, of course, because he was down with his buddies with Big Oil, and, in fact, Big Oil bought out solar and wind so they can continue to make the huge. And, of course, if you listen to this program, you know that Ronald Reagan is the problem. Ronald Reagan is the worst president. Well, okay. Yeah, the guy that's in there right now is the worst, no doubt. But Ronald Reagan was the one that caused this income inequality. This wealth, this tremendous, huge wealth gap. Ronald Reagan did that along with his buddy, Margaret Thatcher. And you've seen the devastation of that since. And so it could have been done at that time. But no. Mm-mm. Caucasians don't think humanely. Let's be real. They don't think humanely. We're going to be talking about the Survival 21st Century Survival Conference that took place this past weekend here in Atlanta with the three areas that were expounded upon, which was spirituality, culture, and survival. Spirituality was discussed by the master teacher, Ashwakwezi, and culture, Baba Baruti, and survival, Irritated Genie, and I'm going to recap that, some of the things that I've learned, just dynamic conference. We'll talk about that. You're listening to African Perspectives. The number here, of course, is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. African Perspectives, we broadcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen live, you can always go to timeforanawakening.com. On the right side, scroll down till you see the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed. Hit on that, and then listen to previous recorded programs that are dated and titled, and there's these little synopses. So check us out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here on Time for an Awakening Media. Also on Monday evenings, it's Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philly. Acres of Diamonds from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. All times I'm going to give our Eastern times. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. right after Acres of Diamonds. Let's Buy Black 365. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 p.m. to 10, Black Reality Think Tank. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Revive. On Thursdays, Us Lifting Us, ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics, and of course, ULU had its big day this past Saturday as well. So I was luckily both events were pretty much in close proximity, not too far from each other. So I was able to bounce back and forth a little bit to between the two events. And because I had to be there, of course, as our grand opening of Us Lifting Us. We had all kinds of good things happening, music, DJ, a Ethiopian coffee tasting ceremony. Ethiopian coffee ceremony. It was beautiful. Of course, we have coffee. That's our thing. Our thing is not anything else but coffee. And we have coffee from Cameroon, Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, Brazil, Panama, and loose teas that are excellent, that are made right here in Atlanta. In fact, everything that we sell, it is made by us. The bakeries, the chips, we have some chips that are made here in Atlanta. So seriously, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. And of course, Cafe ULU is open every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. We're located at 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza. And it's just a beautiful thing. And if you just want to go online, you can go to Cafe ULU, CafeUlu.com, CafeUlu.com. But also, too, you should check out Us Lifting Us on our website, usliftingus.com. Also, too, you might want to check out an article that appeared online. The .com is inthesetimes.com, inthesetimes.com, and you want to put in for the article, Drink Your Coffee Black Owned. Drink Your Coffee Black Owned. So, yep. So that's Us Lifting Us every Thursday right here from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, that's time for an awakening. It's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard from 8 p.m. until Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Sports Talk. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it's not me. It's Sister POC. That's right, Proof of Consciousness. Sister POC with Revive from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Richard and Brother Elliot on 7 p.m. Once again, our call-in number is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Had a great weekend. A lot of good activities. Let me say what was really inspiring for me at the meet and greet for the event on Saturday for the 21st Century Survival Conference. some brothers brought youth to the conference. In Jacksonville, some brothers brought, in Jacksonville, another place too, they brought some youth. Not as many as Jacksonville did. In fact, one of them was named, my grandson's name, Zion. Yeah. And so that was so encouraging. I was elated. Because we need, and I'm talking about youth. And they sat there, they were respectful, you know. They didn't play with video games while discussions were happening. They were disciplined. So I was very impressed with the group from Jacksonville. You know, there are some things that I consistently will read periodically. And, of course, one of them is the African Sovereigntist Interpretation of the Nguza Saba, sent to me by my good friend, Dr. Marimba Omni, Mama Marimba. And the reason why I do these things is a constant reminder of what this show is about, what this program is about. This program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. That's it. That's what this program is about. And everything is discussed in that vein. How does it affect African people? What benefit is it of ours? How should we be aware of something that is coming down at us and we should be on alert or cautious? All of these things are done in that vein. Because to me, when you understand what is going on in the world, there's nothing more important than awakening the minds of African people. So, this is the Nguza Saba. Of course, you know the Nguza Saba, Umoja, Kujichagulia, Ujima, Ujamaa, Nia, Kumba, creativity, the seven principles, which of course is really all we need. We have all we need. We have the seven principles of Nguza Saba. We have the seven principles of Ma'at. We have the five C's. We have everything we need to change our minds to be a strong, dynamic people once again on this planet. The only thing that we don't have is our right minds. Umoja, unity, the Pan-Africanist vision of African people throughout the world joining forces to fight for African sovereignty and to build an African world order. Kujichagulia, self-determination. African people defining ourselves and determining our own destiny as a sovereign people. Ujima, collective working responsibility. African people working together, being responsible to and for each other, and accepting a common system of accountability. Collective working responsibility, accountable to each other. Ujamaa, cooperative economics, familyhood. Creating economic cooperatives based on the concept of African familyhood, interdependence, interrelationships, and a community, national, and global African unity. NIA, purpose. African people sharing common goals that determine our commitments and guide our choices and decisions. This gives purpose to our lives and to our work and tells us why we were born African. Kumba, creativity. To think with African minds and create from our African center. When we participate and when we practice this principle, we no longer imitate non-Africans. We make our own way. Imani, faith. To believe in the vision of African sovereignty and to have the passion and the will and the heart to bring it into existence. In that belief, that strong faith in ourselves, that no matter what roadblocks, detours, or pitfalls are put in our path, and all the other distractions and all the other stuff, we will prevail. We will prevail. It was a very good conference. Straight Black Pride put on. There's other things that were going on at the conference. I'm going to talk first right now about Oshua Kwesi. He was the first presenter. And, of course, Oshua Kwesi is always taking brothers and sisters to the black land, to Kemet. And His tour company is Kemet New, K-E-M-E-T, capital N-U, Kemet New. And you can check out Kemet New online, www.kemetnew.com. And for the prices and so forth, he has a tour going to Ethiopia too. He has a tour in the winter, late December, early January. And his tour going to Kemet is this summer. He doesn't give the dates, but you can check it out. It's a 15-day trip of a lifetime, round trip, international airfare from New York, 700 miles of travel in Kemet from Cairo to Nubia, including flights and land travel, dynamic African-centered lectures on the ancient sites by Brother Ashokwesi and his wife, multimedia PowerPoint presentations, deluxe hotel accommodations, two meals daily, three-day Nile cruise with three meals daily. And believe me, those Nile cruises are nice. That was a highlight, floating, going up and down the Nile. Preacher planning handbook and historical outline booklet, DVD book, enhanced fees to all the sites, and much, much more. The entrance fees, all of that included in that. So download the entire brochure at KemetNew.com. If you want more information, you'll call 214-371-0206. Kemet New Tours. Or you can email him at KemetNewTours@gmail. So, that's Ashokwesi. I thought he, of course, does an outstanding job in terms of delivering information to our people. Oh, let me get these two before I start that other two things that I try to promote here, and that is We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Check them out. Like I said, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall where they sell products produced and to be sold by us for us. We Buy Black. Abaka Sumsum, Sum, African Spiritual Warfare. May 12th at Lithia Springs, in Lithia Springs, Georgia, at Sweetwater State Park on Mount Vernon Road in Lithia Springs, Georgia. My good friend, Sister Dr. Marima Ani, this is the 15th year that she has been honoring our ancestors. Last year, I was part of the program when the spirit of Marcus Garvey in 1920, had over 20,000 of our people come to New York. Not for a party, not for a concert, but to develop a constitution, a working document for us as African people, as a guide for our independence, our liberation, our self-determination, our sovereignty. Africa for Africans at home and abroad. They also had with Marcus Garvey, which helped him bring 20,000 people to New York. He didn't do it by telephone. He didn't do it by telegraph. He didn't do it by internet, Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, your face, whatever. He did it through communications, through his newsletter, The Negro World, which we renamed The African World. And they'll have a copy of The African World again this year with contributors. The theme this year is Building Quilombos, From War Camp to African Sovereignty. Quilombos were the war camps that were particularly in Brazil. There's a movie called Quilombo. Research it out. That is Zimbi of Palmares fighting the Portuguese. Quilombo. And so, raising up the spirit of Dr. John Henry Clark, 9 o'clock. So, that's Abaka Sumsum, African Spiritual Warfare. Saturday, May 12th. And that's from 12:30 to 6:30 Eastern Time. So, yes, Asha was Kwesi's presentation. Unfortunately, I didn't come at the very beginning because I was at the opening of our grand opening of our cafe, Cafe Ulu. And so when I got there, he was already presenting. But, of course, I've heard him, and I know the material that he speaks of. And, I mean, still, always something, always. I mean, when you talk about ancient Kemet, as astute as he is, as he sat, sitting at the feet of one of the masters, which is Dr. Joseph Ben Jochanan. He had pictures of him as a young man with Dr. Ben. But all the others, African, Afrocentric scholars. And when you start to talk about ancient Kemet, which is the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. And to me, what legitimizes our presentations and our feelings for Kemet, not just the fact that it is in Africa, okay? It's on the continent. The Nile River, the longest river in the world, flowing from south to north, only flows in Africa. Kemet is in Africa. But Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop, D-I-O-P, Diop, some call it, pronounce it Diop, but then again, I'm a member of ASCAC, and of course, we in ASCAC, we like to get it right. And he has this pronounced, the pronunciation is Jop. Dr. Shengata Jop and Dr. Thelophilia Obenga went to a symposium in Cairo. The topic, the peopling of ancient Kemet or ancient Egypt. And Jop and Dr. Obenga argue persuasively. They stole the show. He said, I have 10 methods and 10 ways I can prove to you that the ancient Kemetic people were African. They were black. His smoking gun was the melanin dosage test that he had developed. Taking the melanin, extracting them from the mummies, proving that they were melanated people. Because for so many years, and even today, even though Jop did that today, still, even though he won the debate, still today, if you watch National Geographic, Learning Channel, PBS, whatever, the latest movies, Egyptians are portrayed as Caucasian. But if they show somebody serving somebody, yeah, exactly, they're going to look African. Because what they consistently try to do is to put into our minds that we ain't never been nothing but a servant. And, of course, what Brother Asha Kwesi did in his presentation will consistently show that, but more importantly, the theologies, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, all of it is plagiarized from Africa. They were taken from the imagery, the wording, all of it, all of the stories are taken from things that happened thousands of years ago. And so one should say, if you're a Christian, because even the calendar speaks to your Christianity, because they dated 2,000 years ago at the birth of Christ, you know, before Christ, after Christ, before Christian era, whatever, BCE, AB, AD. Because in the Kemetic calendar, the oldest calendar in the world, this is the year 6,258, because their calendar begins in the spring when life begins anew after the year. I think that's logical. You know, beginning in January when it's cold,
That's not a new beginning. Somewhere around this time, April, May, probably May would probably be the best, because that's when everything is really flowering and things are green. Well, things are pretty much green here. I can't say that about up north, unfortunately, in the Northeast and so forth. I can't say that. But I know here, because what you need for things to turn green after winter is water, sun, and heat. Those three things. You got to, I mean, does not the sun shine in the winter? But things aren't green, are they? You need heat. You know, you got moisture. You have precipitation. You have water. You have snow that melts. I mean, you have all of those elements, but you don't have heat. So when you get some real hot days, things, I mean, just like this tree across the lot from my house. I was like, wow, that thing was barren just seemed like a week ago already. It's, you know, all kinds of leaves on it. And so Brother Kwesi pointed out consistently, showed consistently where things were taken from Africa, literally sometimes were taken from Africa. And I've said this, and I'll continue to say this, because there's times that I will argue against Christianity only because it purports itself to be historical. That's why I argue against it. Even though we had all of these things, we didn't say they were historical. We use the heads and put the heads of creatures, the ibis bird for Yehudi, or what the Greeks call Toth, on a body of a man, anthropomorphized. Because we looked in everything in ancient Kemet, everything was born out of study. Everything. Study generated science. Science generated religion. Everything. And it was all inclusive. There was no church-state separation. It was all inclusive. Young people that I work with over the years, I always told them, I said, ancient Kemet was a great civilization because of four things. Study, communications, cooperation, and organization. In fact, I did this presentation back in February, because in fact, during February, I may talk about inventors, you know, and that's always good. Let people know what we have done, and then a few people here and there. But mostly, I like to talk about what we have done prior to us being captives, prior to our captivity. And there's no better subject to talk about than the height of African people, which of course is ancient Kemet. You know, where we at one time, as my good friend LeGrand Clegg in LA in his DVD from many, many years ago, one of the first ones I used, When Black Men Rule, if you can probably go online. You know, I'm always telling you to go online to YouTube, but When Black Men Ruled, Brother LeGrand Clegg, he updated it too. I like the old one better, especially for teaching, because it wasn't that long and, you know, it was just enough to put that in and then go to some, back at that time I had overheads. Didn't have PowerPoint at the time, and explain what you're seeing. And, of course, Oshawa Kwesi's PowerPoint this past weekend was outstanding, as he continued to talk about in telling us exactly where Judaism, Islam, and Christianity got the things that are in their holy books. You know, where they got them from. And see, to me, the challenge is necessary, because if I say what I have is historical, but what you got is a myth, is a fairy tale, is allegory, it's you know, no. But to me, we have the writings on the wall, the Medu Netcher. Medu means writings. Netcher means gods, the writing of the God. We have the Medu Netcher, what the Greeks called hieroglyphs. We have the Medu Netcher on the wall. We have papyri. And we still have some. I mean, it wasn't all destroyed or burned down in the Library of Alexandria and stolen and plagiarized by the Greeks. But I tell you, boy, them Caucasians, them Europeans, they're some thieves. They are some thieves. They are some pledgers. So we have it. And then not only that, we have temples and tombs of men and women that are there. There is no temples and tombs. Hell, some of mine, they ain't even no damn markers. It's just take my word for it. I'm saying it. And it's in the Bible, so it's got to be true. There are no grave sites. They're nothing. It's just the word. And I know, brothers and sisters, some of us affirm that belief based on the prayers and some of the changes or miracles that have happened, and we believe that. And we believe the dogma. Because you say, I've witnessed it. I've seen it myself. I'm a believer. Well, there's one thing that says in the Bible that your faith has healed you. So if you really believe that you are going to be healed, I know everything. Just like a brother was saying to me, one guy got some fortune. You know, something happened and he had fortune. He said, oh, thank you, Jesus. What are you talking about, Jesus? I did that. I did that for you. Well, the understanding is, of course, that everything that is done for you, if you are a Christian, no matter who does it, it's Jesus that made that happen. Jesus put that person in the position to receive that blessing. So thank you, Jesus. It's just like somebody's misfortune. Maybe that person who lost that $100 bill was an atheist or an agnostic or some other religion other than Christian. And somebody who found it was a Christian. And right away, thank you, Jesus. I remember he got hit from behind in his car. And he said, thank you, because he knew he was going to sue. He knew he was going to sue. So he's thanking Jesus for this person who, you know, whose insurance and all that stuff. Because once again, the Christian religion is an individualistic religion. You know, I'm blessed. I'm blessed and highly favored. How you doing, brother? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. But his family situation is chaotic and is a damn mess. His personal life really is a mess, but because he believes so strongly that he is blessed and highly favored. I remember back when the world's supposed to end. In fact, there's another saying, the world's supposed to end pretty soon again. I don't know, in the next few days, years, months, whatever the hell they say. You know, they've always had these doomsday dates that had to be rescinded because it didn't happen. The Jehovah Witnesses had one. The big one that I can remember was 40 years after the European Jews, took Palestine. And you see what they're doing to the Palestinians today. You see what they're doing to Africa, everything. I mean, you know, you bomb Syria, and I don't want to get too deep into that, you know. But yet there's no condemnation for what the European Jews are doing to the Palestinians and to Africans. You didn't say a damn word. And all the money that the tax dollars that are out of the citizens' pocket into paying taxes, a lot of that money, or some of that money, goes to Israel for Israel's defense and for Israel's expansion. Why? Because those are not the Hebrews of ancient times. These are the Ashkenazi. These are the European Jews. These are the Caucasians. They have no right. They are not connected genetically. All of this is proven. There is no proof of the biblical stories. There's no proof that the ancient Hebrews even were enslaved in ancient Kemet. No slaves built pyramids and temples and tombs. Stonemasons, artisans, laborers built them. And they weren't built by somebody whipping on with the hitting them on the back of the sting of the light. No. So, outstanding presentation by Baba Ashwa Kwesi. Outstanding. And I know when I went to Kemet, it was a deal. Didn't cost much. It was a deal and a blessing. The deal, of course, it didn't cost as much as some of the tours. I'm not sure how much his tour is for the 15 days. And I'm quite sure it's, you know. But honestly, if I didn't know information and I just went and listened to their tour guides, because the world comes to Kemet. The world comes to Kemet. Kemet is the first real advanced civilization on this planet. Nobody did anything before we did it. In fact, it is the model which all others come later. But if I didn't know and I just listened to them, yeah. That's why I think it is important to go on tours with African-centered tour guides. Because if I didn't know, then the lady who was a student of Dr. Awas, and probably you had seen Dr. Awas if you seen the Discovery Channel, Learning Channel, and National Geographic and so forth, when they talk about ancient Kemet, I don't think I know he's not any longer the curator, if that's what he was, or the director of antiquities for Egypt. I'm quite sure he is not, because I've seen somebody else. But anyway, then I would believe her when I asked her, so why they got a lot of nose and lips damage? Oh, because of the sandstorms. And you know, well, they just don't take off the damn nose. If there's a sandstorm constantly hitting the face, it would take off the side of a face or just erode the face. You know? Yeah. So, so that's why I think it is important that you go with a African-centered tour guide, so he can point these discrepancies and these inconsistencies out, and you become have a better understanding of what you have done. And see, that's why I always like to talk about ancient Kemet, because it is something that we have done. And so understanding something that we have done, that means that it's something that we can still do. It's not like, you know, like they want us to believe that we're running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created a civilization of any kind, of any significance, of any worth. And that's nothing could be furthest from the truth. But also, too, the religions we believe in. The religion of Christianity specifically, because it purports itself to be historical. And for Christians, that is vitally important. That is one of the chapters in Dr. Marimba Ani's great work, Urugu, which of course is, as far as I'm concerned, the Bible, or the book that we should read. Although she introduces some different words and terminology, and I think that's important as well. But to me, it is an outstanding. In fact, Urugu in its subtitle, an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior. So she clearly and clinically looks at Europeans, how they are, what they do, what they say, their mentality. She studies them. Outstanding work. And one chapter that I've read and reread many times, of course, is the one on religion. The one on religion, particularly Christianity. Because they said, ours is real. Everything else is fake. In fact, there's only one way. In fact, you know, the dogma of Christianity is so damn deep. It's like, if you don't believe this, you're going to hell if you believe in Judaism. You're going to hell if you believe in Islam. You're going to hell if you believe in any other religion except this. This is the way. This is the truth. This is the light. This is it. There is no other religion. This is it. None can come to the Father except through me. So you got to believe that Jesus. I mean, I don't even remember him talking about even the letter J not even being created until the, you know, 16th century. So how could it be Jesus? How could it be Judah? How could it be Jews? You know, Judea, you know. Yeah. Problematic as far as I'm concerned. Very problematic. You know, as far as I'm concerned, but hey. So, then Baba Baruti, his segment of the presentation was the warrior. That's right. The warrior's character. The warrior's character. But let me read Baba Baruti's, I've read it. I continue to read it on sovereignty. Baba Baruti was putting out some really good quotes. I have a lot of them online. Need to start bringing some out because they're good for discussion. There's no doubt about it. Hope to have him on the radio program. Haven't had him on in about over a year or so because, you know, he teaches. But believe me, he's a beautiful man, good man. A lot of love and respect from him. I never forget when I first heard him, my good friend, Sister Queen Ifama, may God be pleased with her, miss her dearly. She helped bring Baba Baruti to Milwaukee. And this is the first time I never heard of the brother before. Outstanding presentation. And also, too, talked about the imposition of homosexuality on our people. And, of course, this presentation this past weekend was presented by Straight Black Pride. Straight Black Pride. And all three presenters, of course, Jeannie, talked about, you know, the imposition of homosexuality on our people and the devastating effects that it's going to have and is having on our people, you know. And I never forget Baba Baruti. In fact, he was the first one. I kind of knew that, and I heard that Dr. Naeem Akbar was homosexual. I know he married and have some children. He got a set of twins and so forth, you know. And but let me just say this, as I said before, what consenting adults do in the privacy of their own home is their business. I just don't want to see it. And I put emphasis on consenting adults and, of course, in the privacy of your own home because I don't want to see it. But I hate when somebody imposes themselves, particularly on children and on others. And the fact that in my libation, don't I say, the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood and the union together for family, we need each other, men and women. I know that these Caucasians are coming up with ways where just a man could have a child. I know there's artificial wombs. You can take, if a guy's a homosexual, he could take his sperm. And there's eggs that can be produced that you could say, these eggs came from this woman. Oh, I want, just like they do sperm. They're saying, oh, look at the profile of this guy. I think he's the right one I want. Recently, it was exposed that a doctor, so ugly ass doctor, doctor of one of the clinics, sperm clinics, sperm banks, whatever. You know, just like the women whose eggs were frozen, and you see what happened with that. They're going to get some money, of course, at the clinic in Cleveland, you know. But this old dude, he was injecting these women with his sperm. But I know that these things are happening. Because understand something, as far as I'm concerned, Europeans and how they developed, they're anti damn near everything. They're anti spirit. They're anti women. They show the hell's anti us. They're anti us. They are trying to, they are killing us. Not that they're trying. No, they are killing us. Literally, they are killing us. This is why we must be sovereign. This is why we must be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. Determining things for ourselves. We are our sovereign-seeking warriors. The successful outcome of any nationalist movement is sovereignty for the people. Being sovereign means having absolute control over the life of the nation. Right now, as always, for African people, sovereignty is measured by how intelligently, independently, and powerfully we control our resources, our story, our culture, time, space, and destiny. It is to have the power within the nation to control our lives and to control them in our best interest, regardless of the opposition from outside. Accordingly, being sovereign has to mean that there is no one beyond us who makes any decisions about how we rule ourselves, how we live, what we believe, how we deal with enemies within as aliens or traitors from within, and how we visualize our future and communicate and express that vision. It means that we are completely and consciously self-defining, self-determining, self-empowered, and self-respecting. And since no nation has ever risen to power and stayed there without holding their own tradition sacred, sovereignty necessarily means that we know, respect, protect, and extend in time through every coming generation who we are as a direct reflection of our ancestors. Sovereignty is our ultimate goal. Brothers and sisters, that is the end game. The end game is not integration. The end game is not no damn kumbaya. The end game is African people controlling Africa. The people, the land, the resources, and being players in the world instead of pawns. We'll talk more about the warrior's character, the warrior's spirit, when we come back from this break. This is a recap of the African Survival Conference that took place this past weekend at the Shrine of the Black Madonna here in Atlanta. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Give us a call. Join this conversation at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We'll be right back. Stay right here with us.
Walkway dressed down in a braid. Brothers with their afros taking center stage. Watching as this culture slowly comes of age. With a mind of its own, yeah. Mothers out in the yard hanging up her clothes. Fathers playing with the kids, keeping them on the go. Neighborhoods beating on the heart of its soul. And that's where my feelings live.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And our number to call in if you want to join this conversation and give us your African perspective is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Also on Monday evening, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. is Acres of Diamonds. Right after Acres of Diamonds, at 8 p.m. to 9 is Let's Buy Black 365. On Tuesdays, Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. On Wednesdays, Sister POC Revive from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Revive on Wednesday. On Thursday, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, Family Center Economics, right here on Thursdays from 9 to 10. Time for an Awakening on Fridays from 8 p.m. until Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sundays from 11 to 1, no, it is not me, it's Sister POC with Revive from 11 to 1 on Sundays. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Outstanding program last night. I'm always listening. I listen to the other programs periodically. I don't know if anybody listens to me. I shouldn't say I don't care if they do or not, you know, because you want, if you're on radio, if you're on a medium, you want listeners, you know. But whether they listen or not, I'm going to say what I'm going to say, you know, because I'm guided by our ancestors. I'm guided by what I know to understand to be right for African people. And that is my charge. That is something that I take very serious. That is what I do. I love us, and I'm trying to get us to love us as we should. Very quick before I get back to a warrior's character. Next week, Monday, I'm going to play a piece called The Science Agenda to Exterminate Blacks. The Science Agenda to Exterminate Blacks. The Bombshell Health Ranger. This is Michael Adams. Michael Adams was on a program where he was sitting at a desk. Behind him was a laboratory, which is his, independent laboratory. It was a short piece that I seen on Facebook some time ago, especially when the water crisis in Flint, Michigan, which still hasn't been done, still hasn't been fixed. It's a damn shame. God, I hate this country. Well, why don't you leave, Brother Oshie? In due time, I'm going to leave. In due time. When the time is right, Brother Oshie is going home. You know. But anyway, so go to your computers, Google The Science Agenda to Exterminate Blacks, Bombshell Health Ranger. Another one is newstarget.com, and it's the Science Agenda to Exterminate Blacks, The Bombshell Health Ranger Lecture, Race Crimes Against Humanity. Just probably put in The Science Agenda to Exterminate Blacks. You should be able to pull that up. Next week, Monday, I'm going to play the whole almost hour-long presentation by this Caucasian, Mike Adams. Mike Adams is an independent medical researcher, and he's talked about vaccines. He's talked about stuff put in foods. So we're going to talk about that, and then me and my Wednesday co-host, Brother Franklin Jones, we're going to really go into it. And, of course, he'll be here this Wednesday, and Friday I will not be here, but a rebroadcast of the tribute to Dr. Bobby Wright will be played, the rebroadcast of a tribute to Dr. Bobby Wright on this Friday. So I will continue to promote that and continue to say, go there, get that information. Because I think what we fail to understand, and we don't want to believe, that this country is just as much ours as it is theirs. We built this country. We built this country, our sweat and our labor. In fact, as Michelle Obama said, you know, living in the White House, when knowing that our people built it, you know? So it's just as much ours. Stop it. Anyway, let me go somewhere. Let me get back to a warrior's character, Dr. Mwalimu Baruti. Brother Mwalimu Baruti. Baba Baruti is outstanding. He says these are the characters. Let me first give a what warrior's character should be. And there's 12 points I'm going to read here in a minute, and then I'm going to get to the Irritated Genie's presentation, which coincides. The Irritated Genie's presentation actually coincides with what I just gave to you in terms of the killing, the deliberate and overt and covert killing of our people globally. Not just here in America, globally. So it worries character. Discipline. Now, you know I hate when these Caucasians or any of us, anybody uses the word discipline when they mean punishment. Discipline and punishment are different. Punishment is what you get when you don't have discipline. What do they call the studies? When you go to a university, they call them what? Disciplines. Because that's what you should be to go through the rigors of study to learn information. You must be disciplined. You must not want to play cards all the time and video games all the time and BS all the time and not go to class all the time. You must be disciplined. Discipline is self-imposed order. Discipline is self-imposed order. When you can't impose order on yourself because you're out of control, society has to impose order on you. And that's why they build prisons. That's why the prison industrial complex, because they made folks out of order, especially us. Look how we behave. Man, I just felt so bad when I saw the young brother, the brother of the young man killed in Sacramento, you know, and saw him flashing money from us, you know, from money that's been donated to the family for whatever reason, you know. And I understand his emotions. I understand when he went up into City Hall and chanted and so forth. I understand all of that. But sometimes there's got to be some control. There has to be some discipline, because if you don't have discipline, you get punishment. Discipline. Self-imposed order. Next, you must be studious. You must be a student. You must be studious. You must want to learn. You must want to learn. You must want to know as much as you can. Multiple sources. Retaining what is good and kicking out what is not. To be studious. This is what a warrior character is. You must be loving.
This call is being recorded.
You must be able to understand the differences. You must be caring. The fourth, you must be resilient. You must have resilient. Must be resilient. Resiliency. You must be resilient. Be able to bounce back. No matter what roadblocks, detours, or pitfalls are put into your path, you overcome them. That's what it means to be resilient. They can't hold you down. They can't hold us. You must be silent. Because sometimes in that silence, in listening and learning, instead of yapping up the mouth all the time, nobody knows it all. But God, or the spirits that inspired you and motivate you to learn. So you must be silent. You must be humble. No matter how strong you are, no matter how great you think you are, but the best thing is to be humble. Because why? You are a servant. A real warrior is a servant. You must be observant. You must look and learn and listen. You must observe your surroundings. You must observe things that are going on in the world. You must understand history. You must understand what's happening today. So therefore, because of your warrior's character, you can begin to prepare for tomorrow. You must be dedicated and committed. You must be dedicated. You do this because you know it is the right thing to do to help our people. You must be dedicated. You must be accountable. You take care of your responsibilities. You must be accountable. You must be intrepid. Nothing bothers you. You handle your business. These are some of the things that a warrior's character entails. We have a caller. Let's take a caller as we continue to go on. 267, 267, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie.
Hey, Ralph, how are you today, brother?
All right, man.
Good.
On the road as usual.
I hear you. I hear you. Thank you for listening. And
yeah,
thank
I'm getting
you for
a real bad echo. Let me see if this is my Bluetooth or...
Okay.
I was getting a real bad echo. I guess I'm good now.
Yeah, you're good. You sound good this way.
Okay. Now, Brother Oshie, what I wanted to say to you, I know you heard the program last night, and, you know, we got to, it seemed like pretty sooner or later, you know, and I know, like, we shouldn't offend people. That's why I didn't take it any deeper. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we got to start, like, pulling people. When we hear falsehood, being echoed over and over and over again, because sometimes these other religions are just as bad as Christianity, to be honest with you, you know? And when you hear these falsehoods like, we're the Asiatic black man, which I've heard, and I know where that came from.
Sure.
You know, but I was trying to be polite.
Right.
And then West Asia, you know, when it's nowhere near Asia. You know what I mean? You know how they come? We're all civilizations, but you're going to name us after another region.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, when I hear those things, you got to, you know, and I understand about not offending nobody. But sometimes when you bold enough to come on there and just continue to talk nonsense, we got to dispel that stuff, man.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it because it was, you know, it was my buddy's program.
Right.
But,
right.
Man, I really wanted to say it more, but I just left it at that. It was a sister. I respected her. And plus, the other conversation was pretty good also, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I just wasn't going to get hung up on that.
Right.
But I really do get upset when I hear stuff that I know for a fact ain't true, but people just, like Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity, you know, like I'm blessed and highly favored. But I'm looking at you, you're broke, you know, your family's in ruins, but you're blessed and highly favored. I struggle with those things. I'm trying to maintain a balance. I'm trying to, like you just said, the brother was saying, I got to practice being humble.
Yes.
Yes. You know, humble. I don't want to, you know, but, step on those. Go ahead, I'm listening.
But see, Ralph, but even in our humility, still, truth should prevail. What is right, especially in our situation, because our minds have been entrapped by these theological systems. And because these theological systems, particularly Christianity and Islam, which are proselytizing religions, they have a cultural component. It's just not a belief. It is how you should live. They want you to live this way. They want you to think this way. They want you to do this way. And because of that, it prevents us from coming together. It prevents our unity. That's why Malik Shabazz said, when I come to the community to deal with the issues that are affecting our community, even though Islam is my religious philosophy, I'm not bringing Islam because I know you might be a Christian. Next thing I know, we're at each other and we can't deal with the real problem. And the real problem is these crackers. We can't deal with that because we're going to be at each other, which, of course, they want that because that keeps them away from what the real deal is. See, so sometimes I understand what you're saying, and I don't like to offend anybody either. You know, I taught my daughters, and even my grandsons, you know, if you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all. But if something needs to be said, it has to be said, say it.
Correct.
You know, now, no matter who it may hurt, say it.
I might want to say something right now that's going to offend a lot of people. You know what I mean? And I'm just going to apologize before I say it. But I know you seen the video of Starbucks up here, right?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Now, I seen a couple of posts where people were posting. You know, and the thing I wrote about on there, like, you know, it's disturbing. But the thing about it, I buy my coffee off of Jackie Robinson's son, David Robinson. I'm making it
right
home.
On. Yeah.
Why they got to be in Starbucks?
Yeah, and Tanzania.
See, that's let's get to the root of it, man. Yeah. Now we know what kind of climate is out here. We know what's going on. We know when these, you know, one brother calls them race soldiers, when they show up with their badges, I don't care if it's a black police chief or not, some of the worst cops are on the black police chiefs.
Yeah.
So when they show up, we automatically know what we're up against. Now, from what I heard about that Starbucks thing, the woman said to them, and, you know, I mean, yeah, white people sitting there all day long, they do their little computer. I ain't white people. I don't want to go in Starbucks. I don't like that stuff. But they stay in there, they play their, see, that's that integration stuff.
Right.
That nonviolent junk where we should be having our own, but we want to do what white people do. So they sit up in there, and I'm sorry, well, I'm fine. They sit up in there. The white girl told them, like, you know, you either buy something or you don't have to leave. I don't know how many times I'll go into a McDonald's or a Burger King. I might buy some cookies, just, you know, I probably got to use a bathroom, but I'll buy something.
Okay.
I mean, that just seems like, you know, not a public restroom. It's for customers only. I mean, most of these businesses.
Right.
So when they ask you, like, just buy a coffee or buy something while y'all sitting in here. And they say no. So then when they called the police on them, which they did, the police asked them three times, look, this is a private-owned business. Y'all going to have to leave. Now, Brother Oshie, if a policeman walked up to you and said to you, this is a private-owned business, you're going to have to leave, what would you do?
I'd leave.
Yes.
I'm serious. I'd leave.
That's why, Brother Oshie, some of us ain't got good sense, man. Some of us, I cannot excuse stupidity.
Yeah.
When the policeman came in there and said, you got to leave, and asked them nicely three times, they should have left. But they said no. And I heard they gave him some verbal nonsense back.
Well, you know, what I've seen of the video that the Caucasian lady took, and she was on the news this morning, and it was on Facebook and whatever. You know, you see them, the two brothers, acting very calmly. You don't see anything. Yeah. You just see them getting arrested and taken out. But you see the other, and then you see the person they were waiting for come in. You see that. And you say, why? What's going on? What did they do? You know, what's going on here? You know, asking these questions, you know. And there was a lot of police. I think I've seen about at least 6-7 police.
It was 6 of them.
Okay. Yeah. You know. And I'm saying, like, wow.
Man, we're going to have to start being smart about things, Brother Oshie. We're going to have to start being smart about things. Now, that thing could have ended up deadly.
Yes, it could.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, especially in this atmosphere of today. Because understand something. This is not the police department of the 50s and so forth. And although the police department has always been, down on us. My cousin who died a couple of years ago at 90-some years old, he told me why he left Milwaukee and never returned, you know. Because cops were harassing him. You know, he had just got out of the service, man. He just got out of the service and to this damn country, and they messing with him. You know, he's overseas fighting for democracy and fighting for something that he can't get here. And he, you know, so he left and he moved to New York. You know, but the point being is that, you know, the police department's occupation now, or their job now, is suppression. Their whole thing is not protect and serve. Their thing is comply or die.
Exactly.
That's
especially when it comes to us.
Especially when it comes to us, comply or die. In fact, I seen one piece out there which they were showing me an arrest of a brother, you know, and they tased him, and they, you know, and he fell straight back, almost looked like he hit his head, you know. I'm like, damn. You know, and then once he came to, he kept saying, why have you done this? Well, of course, they got sued He won a case. The thing was, his attorney got it dropped, and they sued, and he won a case $100,000+. It's crazy, but that's the mentality of the police. And so, if you encounter them, you know, and you saying some of the wrong stuff that they don't want to hear, you know, they could kill you and have it justified, which they always have done. So. Yeah, you got to be smart up in here, man.
You got to be smart. Our lives is on the line.
Yes.
You got to. A matter of fact, I think that's what most, I don't understand it, man. Mm. I mean, I'm just there. I had to say what I had to say. I put the responsibility on us. See, a lot of us don't like that word, responsibility. Yeah. No, let's put the responsibility on us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We shouldn't have been a Starbucks. We should have been invested in the Ulu Cafe.
Ashe!
you know what I mean?
Hey, Ralph, in fact, I saw they showed another piece. I think when I was watching the national news, they showed the demonstration. And they showed some cats singing, "We Shall Overcome." I was like, damn.
Ain't that sad, man? You laughing at them, man. You know. They're gonna have a Starbucks. I mean, come on, brother. We got, you know. I'm just there, man. I know I anger a lot of people with what I see, the way I perceive it. But we gotta just be smarter about things.
That's man. Shame,
we
man.
Know
That's right.
We know our enemy. We know how our enemy is.
Yeah.
Why do we give them any? I mean, they just can't wait to take us out anyway. That's what. Some of our actions, brother.
Yeah.
So, okay. I had to get that off my chest.
I hear you.
Man.
Well, listen, when you get time, go to look up. When you get time, Brother Ralph, look up. Hello, Ralph? Okay, when you get time, dear brother, go to, go online, The Science Agenda. The Science Agenda to Exterminate Blacks.
I listen every day, brother. I enjoy your program.
All right, dear brother. Peace to you. All right. 646. Good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening, Brother Ocean? How you doing?
Jay, I am fine. How was your weekend, dear brother?
It was good. I heard you had a fabulous weekend, man.
Yeah, I did.
I seen some of the things online about the conference, man.
Okay.
It was beautiful, man.
Yeah.
So, but the funny thing is, I was listening to you, and I didn't really hear you too quick. Did they do something or say something about not in my fault? The out of?
No. What I said was when I first heard Baba Baruti talked about Naeem Akbar, because he was talking about homosexuality when he was a professor at Morehouse College, where also Naeem Akbar was at.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, this is nothing new. I mean, you know.
No. Yeah. I didn't know what the context.
Okay,
was.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's why. But, all right. But, you know, hey, the thing was, you had Mama Ali there, which was like having the Master Queen Mother there.
Yes, right.
So, you know, when
That's
you
right.
had her in, you know, attendance, you know, it's a real big deal. You know what I mean? Because I don't know if she's still in New York or if she moved down to Atlanta.
No, she's in Atlanta. She's been in Atlanta long before me. And me and her me and her have connected and, you know, I take her around and do stuff with her, you know, I love her, you know.
You in royalty,
I am. I'm in the presence.
Because I had met her at First World many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I first met her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When she was studying under Dr. Biss. No, Dr. Clark.
Right, Dr. Clark. Dr. Clark at Hunter's College.
Under Dr. Clark, and you would always see her there, I think, you know. And, hey, man, I remember when I said, whoa, this is her book, The Yorugal.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man, I remember her back in the day to have her write this defiant book. It's so dope. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, and to think you got all of these strong warriors in the African gay capital of the United States.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
When are you going to get on your show?
You know what? She's only been on two times that I've had her on. I'm definitely going to have her on again. And
yeah,
one,
you got to get her off for one, 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah. One is when Frances Cress Welsing passed because of their relationship she was on. And the other one was, oh, I can't even remember, some time ago. Yeah. And in fact, no, really recently, even on here, because one of her young men, the good brother, Damani Aquil does great things. And in fact, he was there at the conference this past Saturday, and I had him on, and something happened. I think that was when I had that little power surge. And so she came on after that because she was listening, you know. And so me and her talked a little bit briefly after that. But I'm definitely going to do it. You know, honestly, man, she doesn't like to do it. She really doesn't.
Oh, she don't
no.
like to.
No, she doesn't. I don't either, but she does presentations every now and then.
Oh, man.
Man, she's outstanding.
She's someone that really needs to be reckoning with. Is she working on another book, I hope?
Not that I know of.
Whoa.
Not that I know of. The
only
thing she's doing right now is, of course, is the Baka Sunsumsum, which is African spiritual warfare that she's been doing for 15 years here in the Atlanta area. And that's going to be...
What is that, a group?
Yeah, no. It is African spiritual warfare, Baka Sunsumsum, and she brings people together to put on presentations. And this year is Building Quilombos. From war camp to African sovereignty. Last year, we raised up the spirit of Marcus Mosiah Garvey by recreating the 1920 convention in New York, where over 20,000 of our people came to deal with the developing a constitution, a workable framework for our people for liberation. And that was outstanding.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what she's doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful, man, because I guess once you write the Yorugo, you know, you could present something else, but that's such a defiant word.
It is, man.
You know, come behind that.
Yeah.
It could be a little.
Yeah, like, wow, yeah.
Man. You know, yeah. Like, keep it real. You're not going to have too many other works put out there that's even going to compete with that on that level.
Mm-hmm.
That's you know, that's why whenever I hear somebody talk about Naeem Akbar, I'm always intrigued in a sense, because the man just did some good work.
Yes.
I'm not even gonna
take that
away from him.
Hey.
And then what has transpired with him.
Jay, listen.
To now it seems like he's not able to put out any more work for whatever reason. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of a travesty.
Yeah, I know he's, I know he's in the, at least they still might be in the Tallahassee area. I know he worked for Florida State. And ironically, he stays right down the street, because I've been to his home. He stays right down the street from FAMU. And at the time, I'm quite sure, because that was 20-something years ago, that was in the 90s. And he had never spoken at FAMU, like a presentation or something that's what he told me. He had never spoken. He can literally walk.
You know what the deal is? You know what the deal is with that? A lot of times, well, I've asked a couple of scholars that I've met, you know, why they don't teach in black, you know, institutions, HBCUs and things like that. A lot of them say because they don't pay.
Yeah.
And they give them problems when they do teach there, when they try to put forward a certain, you know, Afrocentric perspective.
Right.
And that's basically what done happened with Baba Baruti at Morehouse.
Yeah.
Because he shouldn't have never left Morehouse, man. But they basically ran him out of Morehouse.
Which is tragic. Yeah, well, listen, did you see that brother who was supposed to get a Rhodes scholarship? And he
was, of course, that was one of Baba's students.
Exactly. Oh man, I loved that. I listened to that at least 4 or 5 times. I loved it. I loved the expression on the chancellor's face too.
Yeah, and And you know what? And you know what the thing is? That young brother was like a student of Baruti.
Yeah.
And he's gone on and followed in the same path.
Right.
As
he teaches.
Baruti, man.
Right.
He's a teacher.
He's an educator.
Conscious brother. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? You can see him on YouTube.
Yeah.
Every now and then he's working with the youth. He's doing
right.
programs. He's doing what, you know, you're supposed to do
right.
when you come under the leadership of someone like Baba Baruti. That's why it'll be interesting to see 15 to 20 years from now about the young warriors that he's training now, mm-hmm. what type of situation they'll be in. Because, you know, the honest truth of the matter, the culture is going to come back because it's reciprocal.
Mm-hmm.
It goes around and around every 25 years to 30 years because of, you know, things that go on, you know, it goes back. So hopefully right. this time when it comes back, to a more conscious level, we'll be able to sustain it for a long time and be able to build upon it. Because, you know, the Negroes get the wake-up call, that whole thing in Philadelphia. I mean, I've never spent a dime in Starbucks. I got a sister of mine who is a religious Starbucks drinker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I tease and tell her
yeah.
all the time. You're giving these characters like $60 a week on that damn no good coffee.
Yeah.
So I said to her the other day, you know, I said, you know, these crackers done showed you they don't respect your husband or your son. You gonna still give them their money? And she hung up on me.
Oh, that's
all right. I don't care.
I hear you.
No, I texted her back and I told her, see, that's what happened when you're a committed Negro peace slave. You know? But hey, that's
the,
it.
The Negro
but I mean,
team.
I think that, you know, boycotting Starbucks is partially a solution, but uplifting something like Uru. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's more important.
Yeah.
The coffee place that y'all got in Atlanta should now be looking to open up two more stores.
Yes.
Because
yes.
of the type of traffic
yes.
that now they should be able to get. You know what I mean? Now,
mm-hmm.
if the increase in coffee purchases and traffic into the store in Atlanta doesn't happen, then I just tell you, niggas are sicker than
well,
imagine if you should be, if truth be told.
Yeah.
There's no reason at this point in time for somebody disrespects and insults you, there's no reason for you to go into their store.
No.
Seriously.
No, it
there's
isn't. Because there's plenty. Right. There's
consider.
Plenty alternatives for you. There's tons
there you
of them.
Go.
You know? And here,
there you go.
In fact, since that has happened, somebody put out on the Facebook or whatever, 47 coffee stores, shops around the country. And, of course, they had Uru in it. They also had Coffee Makes You Black in Milwaukee. And I'm quite sure there's some independent black American African-owned coffee shops in Philadelphia. And so to me, their proprietorship should be increased tremendously because it is – we should stop. In fact, you know, myself and you and other listeners to this program believe that we should only be spending money with each other. We should only, you know, whatever it is that we need, we should make and we should sell. And then we should buy from each other. That's the bottom line.
And you know what you call them?
You broke up on me, Jay.
You know, Mark Lamont Hill, he has a coffee shop in Philadelphia, so hey, listen.
Oh, okay.
That's when you need to go get your what you call them.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line boils down to we have to change our mindset in regards to purchasing things from this Urugu. We got to make up our minds that we're going to stop giving them our money because, number one, they're disrespectful. Number two, you know, they treat you in a fashion that's not right. So now here it is, these cats in Philadelphia who are I guess are pretty successful or whatever, because I don't know if you peeped, the person that they was waiting for was a Urugu.
Right.
That's who they was waiting for,
right.
was a Urugu.
Right, it was some,
they were
in real estate from what I understand.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, think about this. the CEO of Starbucks wants to meet with him. Now, what is that? Pacification? They're going to give
that's all that is. Unless
coffee for life or some other dogs, right?
Like unless
I wanna see.
Unless he's offering them a franchise.
Yeah, I want to sue.
You know?
I don't want nothing else but right. to be monetary compensated for your mistreatment of me.
Right. For humiliating me and detaining me.
We can't talk about. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is the purpose of meeting with him? Could it be another Bill Gates and Puff the Magic Negro meeting with the Urugu sitting at the table? That was one of the sights I've ever seen in my life. I knew at that point in time that Negro was sugar on the iced tea. And from that point on, I lost all respect for him.
Sugar honey iced tea.
when he sat down with that Urugu and Gates, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. and at a bare stomach, I knew he wasn't sugar honey iced tea. And the bottom line, over the next 7 years, he proved to be.
Right.
But now check this out. I don't know if you peeped this. Do you know him and his wife said nothing publicly about Winnie?
Is that right? They didn't say anything public about
Winnie Mandela's?
I don't know.
You're supposed to be up on that, bro.
Well, no.
Oprah didn't say nothing about it. You know what I mean? Think about that.
Well, of course.
The so-called leaders of the Negro
no.
couldn't even say anything about Sister Winnie. That's a damn shame. But everybody all upset because Barbara Bush is about to take a dirt nap. Let her take a dirt nap and see if she goes see this guy, Danny. I could care less. I had to write on my Facebook page. If anybody gives any type of condolences to Barbara Bush, you get deleted.
Hey, that's man, she's so ugly and old. I ain't lying, Jay. I thought that was his mother. Man. When he got sworn in, I said, damn, look at his mama. She.
When I found out it was his wife,
I was like, damn.
Absolutely ugly Urugu.
Yeah. That chick had more wrinkles than her.
Frightening. And a racist, too.
Yeah.
A disrespectful dog.
Yes.
And now the nation is going to be in mourning over this old battle-like piece of crap. No, brother, I told him if you say a word of condolences about that filthy, stinking devil, and I see it, you get deleted. The hell with her. Let's die just
right,
like a
Jay.
Husband. It's a shame he didn't leave before. Now he's gonna be able to stick around a little longer.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I hear you.
Traitors of the planet, and here it is, you got Negroes who gonna mourn this. But here it is, you can't even mourn your warrior queen.
And she is a warrior queen.
I tell you, Obama and his wife Puff the Magic Negroes who are no value. I'm telling you,
that was
the beautifulest thing I ever heard when the brother said, Puff the Magic Negro, because that's just what he is. But, you know, we're going to move forward, O.C., and we're going to do African things on this planet.
That's for sure, brother.
We're going to do African things. But other than that, man, you know, I'm glad you enjoyed this program. How was Brother Akwar Kwesi?
Outstanding. Outstanding, both for him and Jenny. It was a good presentation. It was a good turnout. It was a good turnout.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this: when it was over, what did y'all go do? Did y'all all get together and go party?
No, I didn't. I didn't hang with them. I had some other stuff that I had to do, so I'm not sure. I enjoyed the meet and greet the day before that Friday evening. And what was enjoyable about that, Jay, was the number of young people. I mean, I'm talking about young little soldiers that were brought to the conference from Jacksonville. They came up from Jacksonville. And I think another smaller group came, I think it was from the East. New Jersey. Yes, New Jersey. New Jersey. New Jersey.
Yeah. Man, that's beautiful, man.
It really was.
I can't wait till you get Baba Barudi on your show, man.
Okay. You know what, Jay? I'm gonna get both Baba Barudi and Marimba on the program, and I'll let you know beforehand. That's for sure.
Because my community, I say it all the time, is the foremost authority on where we should be going right now as an African people, man. Ain't nobody out here from a cultural perspective laying it down like he do, man. And he don't play no games, man. I don't know if you on his Facebook page or not, but he's always dropping those little gems, man.
Arnie, yes, I've saved them. I've saved them, man. I have them. In fact,
you to share them no more, because he had attacked by them filthy sisters,
you know,
that came on his page when he made a comment about, you know, their freaky freakiness, and they just acted like they too savage selves. You know what I mean? Because it's one thing you can't do. You can't say nothing about the gay mafia and not be prepared to get it rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
Because I let them know I'm ready to rock and roll. Anytime you want to come, let's play. Because I can get as ugly and nasty as your big old self can. And I love it. I love it. So you know what I mean? It could be a fun and entertaining affair for a few minutes, you know what I mean? But then, you know, they're going to ban you and all of that that nonsense, man. But
all right, my brother.
OC, keep on doing your thing.
I appreciate you, Jay.
You're one of the greatest talk show hosts in the world, man.
Yeah, right.
Peace and love, Black man.
All right, brother. Peace to you, Jay. Have a good one, man. Peace. I love Jay. Let me try to get this in because I know I try to make sure I'm going to get talk about Irritated Genie, but I want to get these warrior rules in that Baba Baruti presented. The 12 rules for a warrior. And, of course, warriors are men and women because, like I said, we need each other. You know, it's just not a struggle just for us. It's a struggle for our people, men, women, children, elders, ancestors. Number one, I will not be contradictory. What I think will be exactly what I say, and what I say will be exactly of what I do. I will be uncompromisingly be what I am and say who I am. Number two, I will love and build with African persons of goodwill and character. Number three, I will distinguish my wants from my needs and never emphasize the material above the mental or the spiritual. Number four, these are warrior rules. Number four, I will learn and teach our children our story. I will help them see and understand their power and their personal responsibility to use it in the best interest of African people. I will rear them to be African spiritual nationalists. Number five, I will strive to be independent in every positive possible way and to help my fellow warriors to be likewise. Number six, I will respect my body and treat it like the temple it is. I will endeavor to elevate my material skills to their highest potential and always be on guard for myself, my family, community, and nation. Number seven, I will honor our warrior ancestors only, using them as the finest, as a model of their perfection to which I aspire. That's a deep one. I love that. I will never use derogatory, demeaning language against my brothers and sisters. I will always show them the utmost respect. I will speak to them in the cultural nation spirit of family, knowing that we are one and that to curse them is to curse myself. I love it. Number nine, I will never confuse friend with enemy and will, without qualification, treat each other accordingly. Number 10. I will live to remove enemies from my people's minds and spaces. I will work to secure all that is ours. Number 11, I will always remember, never forgive or forget what has been done to African people and do all I know and able to do to stop this menticidal, genocidal process now and never let it happen again. Number 12, I will do all in my power to liberate, empower, and make African people sovereign. That is the warrior's rule. Baba Baruti reading those to us from time to time as well, of course, is the warrior statement. I've been doing that for almost 2 years since I picked it up off the net, because the Warrior statement came out in 2015. Irritated Genie, his portion of the program dealt with survival and basically talking about the things that are happening to us that we are being attacked. They were under consistent attack. And unfortunately, I didn't get materials. I didn't have a pen and paper on me as I should have to write it down. But his presentation was outstanding. But it leads to what I'm saying, what we're going to be talking about, and that is this society, Europeans are engaged in a deliberate, planned to take us out, to wipe us off the face of this planet, to exterminate us. The science agenda to exterminate blacks. Go to YouTube, put that in. Go to Google it. YouTube, because I want you to see the almost hour-long video. Caucasian named Michael Adams, who is an independent researcher. He has his own lab. He's been doing the studies. He's been talking about the vaccines and what it's doing to our people, not, of course, just here, but globally. He's talking about the attacks on African people globally to eliminate us. It's, to understand that our population in this country is not growing. It's understandable that the population of Caucasians is not growing. Their population, they've been experiencing zero to negative population growth for about 20-some or more years. In fact, this European Jewish dude, Ben Rothenberg, wrote a book, The Decline of the West. In fact, they were paying Caucasian women in Europe. They're paying them. In fact, The immigrants coming out of Syria and other places, crossing over, how they got there, crossing the Mediterranean or by land through Turkey, whatever, getting into even Germany, even Austria, even other countries because they need work. The people are older. Even though they're Muslim, they don't give a damn. They need work. Because Caucasians are not reproducing. Genetically, and this is not, I mean, everything that I say is not my opinion. I don't give my damn opinion because my opinion is profane. Because if I always gave my opinion, I would be like Joe Madison. I've only heard Joe Madison a couple of times on this program cussing folks out. But I mean, on the real. It is profane because I can't stand this sugar honey iced tea. What I try to give you is a perspective based on the scholarly research of our scholars, our historians, our elders, our ancestors, men and women. I ain't talking about Negroes. I'm talking about warriors. I'm talking about warrior scholars. I'm talking about men and women who loved and believed in us. That's what I'm talking about. And so that's what Irritated Genie was talking about. Outstanding presentation. I wish I could have took some notes, but basically he was talking about the attack on us, the constant attack on us, the homosexuality attack on us. The Black Lives Matter movement, which of course is funded by the European Jew, George Soros. That's one of them, but there are others. And their agenda. Once again, if you haven't heard me say this, I'll say it again. As far as I am concerned, the African-centered movement, Pan-Africanism, there is no issue of sexuality. There is no issue. We as men and women must be together and work together. There is no issue. Who you want to sleep with is your business. But when you come to fight for our people, that's the only thing we're going to deal with. Well, I don't give a damn about you being this. I mean, I don't want nobody to be discriminated, period. Because that's the history of Europeans as it relates to us. But because you want to be with somebody of the same sex, that's your business. It is not the business of our movement. Our movement is for freedom, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. And homosexuality, dear brothers and sisters, is not something that Africans dealt with. And you've seen what happened to when Barack puffed the magic Negro. Yeah, he did come out. I heard of him because I was in Chicago. In fact, I met him before when he was running for the U.S. Senate. He was running for the U.S. Senate. And Jesse brought him by our meeting, the National Black United Front, my good brother, Dr. Conrad Worrell. He brought him by them and said a few things. We shook his hand on a little bull. You know, then I seen him again on the news. So I was aware of Barack Hussein Obama prior to him going to the Democratic Convention and speaking at the Democratic Convention. And it was at that Democratic Convention how he presented himself and so forth. This is the guy. The Democrats want. This is the Negro. This is the guy. So some can argue he wasn't elected. He was selected. And it was something that really pacified us to a sickening degree. To a sickening degree. So we're about to wind down here. We have a couple of minutes left. But go online, dear brothers and sisters, to the Science Agenda to Exterminate Blacks. The Science Agenda. Go on YouTube to check the video out. So we're going to play it Monday on the program, the whole. We're going to talk about it. And then me and my co-host on Wednesdays, we're really going to go deep into it. Because not only are they messing with our minds, but they have a plan to eliminate us, period. Part of messing with our minds is to hate ourselves so we take each other out. So we never see the real enemy. We just see each other because we've been trained to hate ourselves. So we're going to be dealing with that. So, brothers and sisters, we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people is all of the resources that the world wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. We, brothers and sisters, are not a poor people. We have all that we need. What prevents us from seizing it is how we think and what we think and how we think of ourselves and each other. And that control of our minds is not in our hands. That's why this program is important. Shemhotep, that means go in peace. Isante Sana, that means thank you. Be back with us on Wednesday. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Peace.